Good morning. I am so, can you hear me? I guess.
Y'all here in the back?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, this was probably not a bad idea. I am so excited to see everybody here this morning. It hasn't been, it's been a lot of years since I was in the chapter of life that you ladies are in, but I still remember it. And the effort that it takes to get all the little ones fed and dressed and presentable and here and in your seat. So thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. As Rachel was telling you, we're going to be doing the study, Building a Marriage That Really Works. And I don't know, how many of you raise your hand if you've ever heard of precept Bible studies, inductive Bible study? A lot have. Good, good. Several years ago, precept developed, probably within the last, I would say, 8 to 10 years, studies that are no homework, because the very in-depth ones, you know, might be 5 or 6, depending on your study style, 8 or 10 hours of homework a week. You know, they say 5 to 6, but it just depends on your personal study style. And people's lives, just the way our culture has become, it's hard for people to commit that amount of time. And so they developed the 40-minute studies, which are absolutely purely the straight word of God, but no homework. So what we'll do each week, and if you don't have a book, we have books. I think you got them on the way in. We will go through the scripture together. And so... And then you don't have any homework. If you want to work ahead, you can, but it's not necessary because we're going to do it right here. So any questions about that? It's pretty straightforward. Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about myself, and thank you for opening us in prayer. I really appreciate that. I am passionate about God's Word, and I'm going to tell you why. I was raised in a... very well, first today. Okay, so I am married to my husband Norman. We've been married for 35 years. And 35 years. And we have 2 grown children. Our son and his wife Megan are about to celebrate their 6th anniversary, which is hard to believe. And then our daughter Stephanie is single, and she lives in Denver, Colorado. So it's hard having one that far away, but it's a great place to visit. Lisa has a child that just moved out there, so we're going to be going out there some together, maybe. But anyway, we have lived in the Birmingham area. I've lived in the Birmingham area 3 different times. I did not grow up here. I grew up mostly in North Alabama, partially. My dad was in the military, so some other countries, and I was born in the north, in the Midwest, actually, in Indiana, but so we have lived here this time, I think, 4 years. Prior to being here, we were in Houston for about 3 years, and then prior to that, we were here. But we got married in 1982, and I was about to finish my degree at UAB. My degree is in nuclear medicine, so precepts and inductive Bible study really suits my study style because I love detail. I just love detail so much. I had always thought from the time I was probably in mid-school forward that I would be a neurosurgeon. And as we all often find out in life, our plan and God's plan sometimes aren't the same. And so I'm clipping along, getting, you know, working towards my degree and thinking ahead to med school. And my husband and I started dating probably, I guess, my junior year of college. He had already been out of college for about 4 years. And he was enjoying, you know, being a single man, having his career and all that. And so I shared with him that I had really no plans to get married anytime soon. That I wanted to do this, and then I was going to do this, and then my internship, then my residency, blah, blah, blah. And so he was like, yeah, okay, this is good. No, she's not looking for an MRS degree. Safe person today, right? And I fell fast and I fell hard in totally in love with this man. And so we got married towards the end of my senior year. And I know, seriously. He was like, wait a minute, I thought you said. But anyway, so we got married towards the end of my senior year. I think I had a half a quarter left or so. And we both decided, okay, let's just get our MBA. So we're going to get our MBA and, you know, took the GMAT and everything you do for that. So we could go to, I think, Stanford. That was our plan, to go to Stanford. The very night our classes were to start, my husband comes home and says, oh, hey, there's this great job opportunity, blah, 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 and it's in Connecticut. And so we didn't go to class that night. And we started praying. We were like, well, maybe we shouldn't start. I don't know. So we started praying about it, and because we really, really, really desired so strongly to do what God was purposing for our lives. And so we took a couple of months and prayed about it, and we felt Him leading us to do this. Now, we had no connection to New England, never had probably been to New England that I remember. But we just dove right in and there we were. And we went in search of the church that God would have us to be in. And we didn't search out a denomination. We wanted to visit different Christian churches and see where God was leading us. And so we visited several different denominations, and we ended up one Sunday at an American Baptist, which I had never heard of. And they afterwards quickly shared that just down the road there was a Southern Baptist church that we might want to go to. So we did. And, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, go over there. So we did that. And I have to tell you, we met dear family there, Pam Streisner, Pam and Daryl Streisner. We joined there probably August, September. They moved to Connecticut in November. And we became each other's family. And that is one thing that, as challenging as it was sometimes to move, because we moved a lot. People used to say, is your husband in the military? I'm like, no, he's not. But I would not, even though it was very hard, very challenging sometimes beyond what I thought I could stand, God blessed us so incredibly through fellow believers, growing us through the challenges. And so our little pilgrim Thanksgiving was at Pam and Daryl's house, which was awesome. And we had a dear friend who was from Ecuador, who was always so, so very enthusiastic and wanted to learn all the new American culture. So that first Thanksgiving, she said, oh, I'll bring the turkey. And so we're just there waiting, and it's getting closer to noon, and we're thinking, huh, no turkey. Where's Patty and Omar? And so they finally called. She says, we're finishing breakfast. By the way, how long does it take to cook a turkey? And we're like, oh. So just come on, no turkey. And so just great memories like that. You know, you don't have to have turkey to have Thanksgiving dinner. Not a big deal, you know. After we left, we lived in Connecticut for 2 years. And I became pregnant with our first child. And we moved to Louisiana. Now, back up from that, I was one of these people that I was one of five children. My mom and dad, my mom stayed home until I was probably about middle school, finished her degree, somehow with five kids, finished her master's degree. And we were very, very, very involved in our church. Any of you that have that kind of Southern Baptist background, there was Sunday school, there was training union, there were mission friends and GAs and RAs and ACT teams and on and on and on and on. And we were very, very, very involved in everything offered in the life of our church. When I went to college, I was aware of an organization that at a lot of schools is, I think now it's called the BCM, Baptist Campus Ministries. At the college where I was, it was the Baptist Student Union. And so I became involved with the Baptist Student Union, served as a summer missionary one summer with them. Met my husband through our campus minister, who grew up with my husband, and he was president of his Baptist student union at his university, and we met through that. And so then, so I was saying, as I finished a school and married, and then, so we end up in Connecticut. Then we moved to Louisiana when I was pregnant with our first child. And I was, I don't know if any of you ladies have experienced morning sickness. Yes, maybe not, maybe a little bit. And then there's the 24/7, 365, or 9 months, got 365 days, like the whole pregnancy sick, that kind of a thing. And I always thought, growing up in a family of five, I was the one that never got sick, and, you know, I just thought I would be doing, like, aerobics the day I went to labor and everything, and no, not. It was not. And again, God had a different plan, and so I was, I went on a leave of absence from work, and then about the time I was getting to the point where I thought I could go back to work, then my husband comes home and he says, oh, and I dreaded telling Pam this because I knew you were going to be left, like, in Siberia and we were leaving you, but he said, well, you know, there's an opportunity with the company to move to Louisiana. I'm like, okay, this is great. You know, we're going back to the motherland. We're going back to the South. And so, so we arrive in Louisiana, and prior to that, we lived in Houston for a month, and then we moved to Louisiana. And when I was strong enough to move, and we got there, and I remember the day we arrived, I thought, "Huh, this is not like anything I'm used to. This is not like what I thought it was going to be like." And but the people there were so, so precious. We joined East Bayou Baptist Church 2 weeks before I was due. And all this time from, I guess, October until March, we had been living in a hotel. And my husband, being the astute, pragmatic person that he is one of seven siblings. And so the energy industry had kind of tanked, and so he was waiting for house prices there to just bottom out, bottom out, bottom out. I'm waiting for a child to arrive. And so so we lived in one hotel for about 6 weeks, and then I spent the month of December living at a sister-in-law's home in Birmingham so I could be near a doctor because he was out of the country, and then came back, moved into a different hotel so we could have a change of scenery, I guess. And so anyway, on the day that our son was due, we were always surprised, we didn't know what gender, I had been looking at houses that morning, and then and it ended up going into labor. And I remember when I realized that I was going to be having him, I thought, huh, it's our due date. Does anybody have their baby on their due date? So anyway, had Stephen that day, but the precious, precious people that we met 2 weeks before he was due just wrapped their arms around us and became our family, because they too were in the stage that we were in. They were young marrieds. They were having their families. They had a baby shower for us. Even my husband's company had a baby shower for us, because we were renting a house because we were still waiting for real estate prices to drop. And I got to tell you a cute thing about Cajuns. Because when we moved there, I mean, I couldn't pronounce the name of the streets. I couldn't understand what anybody was saying. You know, I thought the name of our street was Rue Papillon, but no, it was Rue Papillon. And but they had a couple's baby shower for us. Have you ever been to a baby shower where there was an open bar? Anybody? I was like, okay, interesting. You know, just and I remember, I never went to a bridal tea, a baby shower, you name it, that there wasn't boudin sausage, whatever that is. And so, but very warm, welcoming people. So we were there, For 2 years. So after we were in this rental house, and we rented a house out near the office, and you guys, it was since the energy industry had tanked, builders had gone bankrupt, banks were closing down, all kinds of things. So you could get a house for, you know, a really good steal, but you would go into neighborhoods, and they might have a couple of houses built, the utilities would be in, that was it. So there was our house, the house next to us, and sugar cane fields, just in armadillos and alligators, I guess. I don't know. Because I can remember, you know, putting Stephen in a little carriage and going around the block, and, you know, you'd always see an armadillo or two, always. And I just had never been around that either. But God was very good to us, and I guess our last 6 months there, we bought a house. It was the time to buy a house. So we bought the house, and then Stephen turned two, and I was home visiting a sister of mine in North Alabama. And on Stephen's second birthday, I kind of, you know, thought that I might be pregnant. And anyway, I did a pregnancy test. Yes, was pregnant. And so that same day, Norman came home and was like, oh, we have this great opportunity to move back to Connecticut. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Only I didn't say it. I just shut it down. And I've learned since then. But anyway, so went through, again, the same kind of scenario with the, it's called hyperemesis, 24/7, sick, blah, blah, blah. But only this time I had a two-year-old and a husband that was out of the country most of the time. And I'm living in Louisiana. And so sweet, precious friends and family members would come down and stay a week or two or whatever because I was in and out of the hospital. Probably by the time I was, I don't know, 3 months pregnant, 4 months pregnant, I'd been in the hospital six times. And, I mean, I just, and God provided. He provided. Where I'm going with all this is that no matter what, and I know many of you have seasons of life with much greater challenges than that, but God provided every single time, more than abundantly. So we moved back to Connecticut when I was strong enough to move again. And, I remember it was like August the 5th. We flew there. We left hot, scorching, humid Louisiana. We landed there, and it was rainy, and it was about 60 degrees, and, you know, and I have a two-year-old, and I'm pregnant, and my husband's going out of the country. And I just remember we pulled up to this corporate apartment, and it all hit me. And I sat there, and I couldn't even speak or anything, but I knew in my heart I could just feel this feeling I'd never felt before, a very just really deep-seated resentment building towards my husband. And but I didn't say anything. And so we clipped along, you know, we had nothing else going on around us, so it was really easy to potty train our son because we didn't have anything else to do. You know, so it was like really quick. Bless him. He had a lot of coverage. And then we moved, I think, into a duplex or something. Probably a month before Stephanie was due. And so we were at a business dinner, I remember, and I excused myself between, thankfully we were at Ruth Chris Steak House, so I had a really good meal. And so I excused myself to the ladies' room, and when I stood up, it was like, I think my water just broke. And so, and it did. And so she was a couple of weeks early. You know, she's still early for everything. And she loves steak. But, and now that she lives in Colorado, she loves, what is that, jerky? Elk jerky and stuff like that. But anyway, she loves meat. But, so we had our second child and brought her home in, on Thanksgiving morning. And I remember waking up that morning, and it was a blizzard. I mean, it was just the snow was coming down, and I remember looking over at Steph and her little, you know, thing they put them in, and I said, well, we might not be going home today, you know. But our guys shoveled out of 10 inches of snow, And they came and they got us, you know, which was great. So we went home. And again, God's provision, a sweet, dear friend of mine and her mother, we get home Thanksgiving Day. It's their Thanksgiving Day. And this beautiful, beautiful dinner set on our table. And, oh, my goodness, I mean, and so to this day, on Thanksgiving Day, you better believe I'm doing something special for them. I mean, they just, because it was their Thanksgiving Day, too. So we were in that little place, and it was so tiny. It was so tiny. I used to kid that, you know, you could sit on the sofa and prop your legs on the opposite wall. I mean, it was just so tiny. But it was a nice little kind of a cocoon haven for us. And when Stephanie was 7 weeks old, I got, the only time I've ever had it in my life, the bad head-to-toe, full-blown, worst-case scenario flu. And my husband was in Scotland. And there had been a child in our town, an infant that had contracted the flu that year that did not survive. And I was just so anxious that my children would get it, that our newborn would get it. And so thankfully she was just old enough to put in a swing. And so I would get her out to nurse her and put her right back in that swing. And she was happy as a little, you know, camper to do that. And then on day 14, Stephen got it. And, I mean, I would just sit there and go, Lord, I don't know if we're going to live through this. I don't know, you know, and there was just, by that time, you guys had already moved back to the South, or I know you would have been right there, Pam. I know you would have. And, but we survived. And so, we were there, oh, how long? 2 years. We were there for 2 years. And so after about a year and a half, we decided we just need more room. We would like for the kids to have a little yard, and we'd like to get our things out of storage and all that. So we found a house to rent, and wasn't particularly attractive or anything, but it had more room and it had a yard. And I just remember the ground level, it was probably built in the 60s, I'm guessing, but the ground level bathroom had like 8 different colors of blue tile in it. It was just, but we had a yard and we had more room. And it was really warm and toasty. And so we were there for 6 months. And we both really, really wanted to, now that we had started a family, be closer to family. And we really didn't want to stay there. Beautiful part of the country, but very, very liberal. And we were in a Bible study with some other couples, a home Bible study, one of whom had a high school age child, just to tell you kind of the environment, the culture there at the time. And this would have been 1989-1990, which is maybe before some of you guys were born, you know. And so, but the one that had a child that was a freshman in high school, very acclaimed school and everything, but they had a freshman level closed-door to parents Monday morning 8 a.m. class called Alternative Lifestyles. That was the kind of culture there was there. Very intellectual, very forward-thinking, and we just did not want to raise our family in that kind of a culture. So we began praying that God would move us back to the Bible Belt to raise our families, to raise our family. And there was nothing, no one put up feelers, there was just nothing. And then it became, okay, I'm just going to send out resumes south of the Mason-Dixon line. And there was nothing, and there was nothing. And so God had brought Norman to the point and me to the same exact point without talking about it. I was invited by our son's nursery school teacher to go to a women's conference with her. And it was in upstate New York. And so I went with her, and I had heard about inductive Bible study and precepts as a newlywed, and I had heard Kay Arthur speak, because when we were in Louisiana, our church there, when Stephen was 5 months old, I plugged into their women's Bible studies, and we had about 60 women every week, all ages, doing inductive Bible study. And so we did the Book of Romans for 2 years. And again, being in the middle of nowhere, Sugar Cane Fields, rental house, no neighbors, was perfect timing on God's part for me, because when Stephen would go down for a nap, I was in the Word. And he was just feeding me and feeding me. And that was the first time that I really, having grown up, as I shared with you my background, but for the first time in my life, even though I'd made a profession of faith as a very young child when I was 9 years old, for the first time in my life, I was convicted that I was a sinner. And God brought me to a point through being in His Word and sitting at His feet that I had grown up with such head knowledge. And my temperament type is a very compliant. So I always wanted to do the right thing. So it was easy for me to do the right thing. Very easy. But I was for the first time confronted with, am I the Lord of your life? And let me back up a little bit from that. I can remember as a child. I can remember as a teenager. I can remember when I was the president of the Baptist Student Union. I can remember when I was a summer missionary. And I would hear these dynamic speakers, and I would think, wow, when I read the Bible, I mean, I get it and I get the facts and everything, but I just don't get it the same way they do. And Lord, would you show me that? And so by being in His Word and studying it and meditating on it, I finally understood about the Lordship of Christ in my life. And it was as if someone flipped a light switch. It was that immediate. And I say that to say, it doesn't matter if you just picked up a Bible today for the first time or you've been reading your Bible for 30 years of your life, because at this time I was 28 years old. And so that is why I am so very passionate about being students of God's Word, of this Word. And I want to share some verses that God has really, really used in my life. If you have your Bible, turn to that. And while you're getting those out, we did move to Birmingham when we were both so very wanting to not be where we were. But like I said, God brought my husband and myself independently to a point of total surrender to Him, that, Lord, if this is where you want us and this is where you want us to serve you the rest of our life, we're willing. And he was willing and I was willing, but we hadn't talked to each other about it because he was just starting to really heal that root of bitterness and resentment in my life at that time. So I went to this women's conference in upstate New York, and it was Kay Arthur was speaking. And she had us one afternoon go off by ourselves and just be in the Word with God. And for, I don't know how long it was, for an hour or so. And God really took me to the woodshed on that at that time, and showed me and revealed to me that I had this feeling, these feelings towards my husband. I hadn't verbalized them or anything, and to the point that it had really affected my health, but that's for another day. Had I not been in His Word and seeking Him and purposing to be a student of His Word, I'm just grateful for His timing. So grateful for His timing in my life. So I wanted to share a couple of verses. The first one, if you'll turn to 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And again, it's easy to go through life and, you know, be in our small groups and be at Sunday worship and do our quiet time with our children at night at bedtime prayers and all those. But it is so, so important. If we want to know our God, then the best way and most important way to know God is to know His Word. And if you know the Word of God, you're going to know the God of the Word. So in that time spent reading it, studying it, meditating on it, in choosing to apply it to our lives. So let's read 2 Timothy 3. This is why we are students of God's Word. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Did you see that? All Scripture. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So my question to us is, do we want to be thoroughly equipped? Do we want to be kind of equipped? Do we want to be equipped at all? Okay. And then, okay, so how does God teach us from His Word? How do we learn? Turn to John 16, if you have a Bible, verses 13 through 15. Did you guys know that the Holy Spirit is who disciples us? The Holy Spirit is our discipler. That was such an aha moment for me when I learned that. So in John 16, verse 13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears from the Father, He will speak. And He will disclose to us what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine, and He will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine, and I will disclose it to you. He tells us there plainly in black and white. He's going to show us, right? So we don't want to miss it. So how do we do this then? This is not a word that we use in our current culture, but the word abide. No, we don't just talk about abiding, you know, I'm going to abide here, and where do you abide? And we don't. But John 15:4 says, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in Me. So how do we do it? How do we abide? By knowing the Word of God, and then we will know the God of the Word, right? So He wants us to be a student of His Word. He wants us to read it, study it, meditate on it. And then, and only then, can we live it out. You know, how can we live something if we don't know what it is? So that is what abiding is. And then Romans 12, 1 through 2, if you'll turn there. It says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That is an act of worship when we present ourselves to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So how do we have our minds renewed? He tells us right there, by knowing His Word and purposing to obey it. So when we might see someone that their life has been so transformed, and someone that we may admire greatly, in light of that, that didn't just happen. They're abiding, and it's just the natural outflow of their lives being filled up to the fullness with God and His Holy Spirit. So because of this, we are going to search His Word. We are going to do that through this study. It is straight Scripture. And so if you look on page 3, you will see an introduction, something that says observe, and then instructions that say read the passage, and then some discussion. So this is what we'll be doing when we are all together. We are going to go through Scripture, and it's always marked. It's in the columns and the margins of your page, the Scripture. And then we will observe what that passage is saying to us by looking at keywords and marking them. And then we will go back and have discussion about that. And so we aren't going to consult commentaries. We aren't going to read another book so we know kind of what it says. We're just going to read the Word, and we're going to see what it says. And then in our own time, we can meditate on it and let God show us how He wants us to apply that to our lives. Does that sound good? Sound okay? I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. Just to think about, and this is, I'm always not just pointing the finger, I'm pointing back at myself too. What impact is the word we are receiving making in our lives? What changes are taking place? I don't remember whose quote this is, but I wrote it down and God called it to mind last night. Until we are committed to God and His principles, God cannot entrust us with all He has for us. We must not pass through this life as one with the potential to become, but never become. God has a purpose for each of us. For those of us who are married, our marriage can be a picture of Christ's inseparable union with His bride, the church. And the last scripture I'd like to share with you is one that is so dear to my heart, Daniel 11:32. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So we are going to purpose to know Him. And exploits can be, you know, if I were talking to like a football team, I might say on the field or with your buddies or whatever. But we're talking about marriage here, and we're going to do exploits. And we can be that picture to the world of Christ's relationship to the church. All right, so let's pray. Did anybody have any questions at all about the study or how we're going to do it? I typically, just because I started learning that way, I like to use color. color, you know, but you don't have to. You could have just a leaded pencil. So don't get like hung up in the tools or whatever, but if you want them, bring them. So, yes.
Okay, so week one, we're going to be going through this week and then meet up and read.
You can read ahead and do it this week if you want to, but you don't have to, because the way these studies are designed, okay, is that we will do it together.
We come in
and we will sit down and we will do it together.
Well, next week we'll have tables, and we can put our books out and be able to write. I forgot we said that, so we want that.
That's true. And so tables are good. Tables are good. Yeah. You can have your, yeah, you know, whatever you're drinking right there. You can have your pencils, pens, whatever it is you want to do. You know, there are all kinds of Bible software. Some people like to just do it on that. However you want to do it. But the scripture is all in here. It's all printed in here. Every bit of it. So only bring that. I always still bring my Bible because it just feels like I'm really missing something if it's not there with me too. And we, you know, somebody might want to look up another. So yes, bring your Bible. Absolutely. But if you forget your Bible, not the end of the world. Still come to class. Yes. Well, okay, so these are designed to be 40-minute sessions, but in my experience, I've found that really it's rare to get through an entire week in 40 minutes, especially with women. It's going to be really a challenge. And so so whatever we don't cover in that 40 minutes, then in your small group, it may be like finishing up what there is, and then there may be things that you want to share in your small group. So that's kind of a picture of what I think that will be like. So I know this is very different than probably the format or the content that you guys have had in the past. So anyway, but yeah, we get to do homework together.
And depending on each group, each leader is a little bit different with different experiences. And if you finish all your homework, and we can always yeah, ask questions, talk through, you know, just different things. But we'll meet every morning kind of early, and we'll talk through maybe some extra questions if we have them. So it can do. And then if y'all need a lead after she teaches, you can. Like if you have, but Bible, the small group would just be extra time to get to know your group fellowship and ask a few more questions, if that helps.
Sound good? Does sound good? Okay. All right, well, let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day that you have ordained. Lord, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I thank you that you have given us your word and that it has been written down through the ages so that we can have it in our hands, so that we can read it for ourselves, so that we can sit at your feet and learn from you, Father. Help us to not take it for granted. Lord, I know that each person in here lives a very busy life, Lord. But I know also that you've given each one of us the same amount of time in a day. So, Father, teach us to order our days, and you establish our steps, Father. And, Lord, we know in your word you tell us that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. So, Father, we believe that because your word and your word is truth. So, Father, I pray for these precious women who are here, for their families, their husbands, their children. I pray that you would protect them as they are purposing and committing to be in your word and learn what your word has to say about marriage, Father. Remind us, help us to be aware of the enemy's schemes and to pray on the armor that you have given us, that you have provided and made available to us, Lord. I'm excited about the truths that you're going to show us. And even to those of us that have been married as long as I have, Lord, every day and every year, there are new things to learn. So, God, I thank you that that you have given us the ability to learn. Lord, go with us as we go our separate ways and bring us back safely so that we can study your word together. In Christ's name, amen.